Hey there, welcome to Off the Air, the weekly podcast from the Lynch and Taco Show on 101.1 WJRR. I'm Pat Lynch. Taco, hello.
Good morning.
Gamble.
Good morning.
Or whatever time it might be that you're listening to this ultimately. And if you're watching while we do this on Facebook Live, hello there. Welcome. Feel free to participate as you see fit. Jesus, what a day this was, huh? Way this day started off.
Yeah. You almost just, I'm glad that the TV's off right now. It's like.
No, I wanted to point out that it's one of the things that you, doing this job, you don't really think about it sometimes until it happens. And this was one of those days where you arrive and you're ready and raring to go and you're in a good mood, ready to fire things up. And then you.
Ready to have a crazy show.
And then you're like, oh boy, there is heavy news happening. And there's two heavy news stories still unfolding as we speak right now. The officer that was shot in Daytona Beach. And then this collapse of this building, this condominium complex in Surfside down in South Florida, as the whole thing is still just. I am curious to want to know what happened there.
Well, Gamble and I were talking when you weren't in here. I mean, it has to be infrastructure, whether it was the way it was built. Who knows? You know, they throw up all these condos all over Florida. And you see how fast they go up, and you watch them be built, and it's like,
yeah.
Is that really? I walk in this building next to those windows because we're up on the fourth floor, and I sometimes think, man, I watch this construction process go on. What could stop this building from just tumbling, you know?
I wonder, specifically at this corner down at the end of the hallway where our studio is.
Yeah, that's right where I'm talking about.
Right. How much pressure would those windows sustain if, say, you were to trip
and fall
and just head first into the glass, because the glass goes right from the ceiling down to the floor?
We've seen them break during construction. Something went through them. I'm trying to think, was that, Gamble, was that just a crack or a break?
When the window was gone?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure that was a full-on, like, broken window that they had to plug up with plywood.
Okay, like a hole. So
just visualizing someone.
Because we thought that the hole was there so that they could exit, they could get things out. Remember?
Well, they did have one of
those.
They
did have that, and then they were sending something down, and it fell from the cherry picker, and it wrapped around, and it smashed through the third floor window.
Yeah, the window below.
Yeah.
Exactly. You asked how much pressure it would take. I'm not ragging on you, but if you trip and take a header.
That hit a support beam, we're all going down.
What's that?
If that would have hit a support beam, we're all going down.
Oh, yeah, the whole fourth floor just slide off. That might be a blessing. No, but Lynch, I'm not ragging on weight or anything. If you were walking and took a header.
Well, go ahead. I'm fat. I know I'm fat.
I think there's a good chance you'd be out. And if I was next to you and you grabbed me, I'd be pissed. I'm not kidding, man. I love you and all, but I would be really upset if I was.
Steady me, Taco.
Look, if I'm just impaled on that tree down there going.
That really would be the only hope, is that tree down there, if you went out that window. If anyone went out that window,
yeah,
that the tree would somewhat break your fall.
The hedge wouldn't. Yeah,
I think we got too much glass around us.
I
don't know. I'm trying to think of the safe, because that's the thing that's, well. So apparently, even from this, I guess 50 hotel rooms next door to the building that collapsed.
You're back to the deal down South Florida.
Well, I'm back to Miami just because, like, when the building falls, there's like. The whole area is kind of like, I'd be kind of iffy.
Kind of like a little mini earthquake, I mean, from the impact. And so you're saying that the building next door was also damaged?
So at least they had to evacuate.
Oh, Jesus.
They evacuated the building next door just, I guess, to be just in case.
Because debris and stuff like that?
That too.
You just look at those visuals, man, and you're like, that is, it happened, you know, just before 2 o'clock this morning. You know, most people are sound asleep then.
Mm-hmm.
And just to think.
I know.
Have either of you been in an earthquake or anything? Have you ever been rattled?
You want to know something?
Yeah.
How's this for earthquake? In 1989 is when the big dog hit in Oakland area.
Yeah.
And we had just left my brother's place in San Francisco. He was going to the Art Institute there.
Uh-huh.
We had just left, and this was before phones. And we had to we saw the news, obviously, and we were way down south by then. And he's like, oh my God, we had, you know, just left. So immediately we're trying to call him. We can't get through to see if he's fine. But he's worried about us because it's just me, 18, and Delta Dave was only 17 at the time. And he's like, I got these two kids that I feel kind of responsible for. And he's like,
he knows you both.
And we called and he answered and he's like, thank God. He said, and you did not want to be here. It's the one where the double-decker bridge just totally collapsed.
Yeah.
It's just sickening shit, man. It's crazy. But no, so I haven't been in an earthquake, knock on wood, but by the skin of my teeth.
You got me thinking, though, with that. What, and living here in Florida, obviously there's plenty of...
we get hurricanes.
Stories to tell. But, no, well, I was just going to say, between the three of us, what would be your most memorable, scary weather-related situation if you had to just pick one? You can go back as long as you want. Scariest weather-related situation you ever had to deal with or found yourself in?
It's going
to
take this brain a little while to rewind.
Do you have one?
I think, well, the closest was during Charlie. I went to my dad's house. My brother stayed with my mom. I went to my dad's house for some reason. And I slept on his couch, and when I woke up that morning, I remember we like woke up and we like undid the blinds, and the window was like just starting to crack because our big oak tree out front had fell down. And I guess if the oak tree had been 2 feet taller, it would have like taken out the side of like right where my head was, and that would have like taken me out.
Yeah.
So that was like the closest. I mean, I woke up and was like, wow, that was really close. But I've never been in any like...
have you ever been out when extreme weather hits and you're like, holy crap, this could be it?
Were you down there when Andrew hit?
No, I was not. I was down there just afterwards. I had moved briefly back to South Florida and I saw the devastation.
Oh, I saw it right after. It was bad.
In fact, I worked. I had moved back to South Florida to work at the Peaches, which was on South US 1 right near University of Miami. And literally 3 miles down the road from there is where the total destruction line started. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, they had given out maps that didn't have road names or addresses or anything. It had things that were you should look for to know where you're at and what part of town. You know, giant rubble pile. Mm-hmm. You know, it was surreal. I'm thank God I didn't have to go through that. That's the craziest thing I ever got caught in where I thought I might actually die was just after high school. It was near the Boynton Inlet. There's a island there called Beer Can Island.
Yeah.
And the way to get to this, one of two ways, you go by boat or you can walk over at low tide. On there's a little seawall divider there where the inlet is, mm-hmm. and whatnot. So we were out there partying on Beer Can Island, and some weather started to come up. So a few of the friends said, all right, we're going to get on the boats and get the hell out of here. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna make my way back. And literally minutes after they had taken off and gone away from the direction of the weather, it came in and it was on us. And I hadn't got off the island yet. So I'm going over, the water's coming in, water's going up on this little piece of seawall that you would walk on, mm-hmm. to get back onto the mainland.
And it's probably slapping over and stuff
right,
like
exactly.
that.
And the wind and the lightning was what was the worst. There was just, you know, that Florida thunderstorm out of nowhere from hell.
Yeah. And
as I go to try to step onto the seawall to walk across, me and a buddy were hearing, help, help, help. And we look out there, and the rain, it's just sideways rain. And we're looking, and there's this girl who is squatting down on the seawall, holding on for dear life. She's just getting pelted. Now it's starting to hail.
Meanwhile, you guys are hammered, I'm sure, because you've been out of this thing.
Actually, no, we weren't that hammered.
I feel like this sobers you up a good bit.
We weren't that hammered because it was an early afternoon thunderstorm that we had planned on spending the day out there. So I'm like, what the hell? Let's go try to get her. And we get out there.
How far from you on the seawall?
It was probably 30, 40 yards, but it was hard to see her because the wind and the rain, mm-hmm. was just blinding. So we got out there. We go out there carefully, and the lightning's hitting everywhere. She had been walking in, and she fell off the seawall into the jetty rocks.
Oh,
like she slipped.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was just ripped to pieces and managed to get herself back up onto the seawall and was just holding on for dear life. So we, you know, helped get her across.
She's lucky she made it out of the jetty, dude. That was always a fear of mine.
I bet the water, right? I bet she like kind of rode the water up.
Well, that was the scary part, Gamble, is the water is just rushing out of the inlet or whichever way it was going.
It'll take you right as quick.
Oh. And she hadn't actually fallen into the water. So we're helping her, and my one buddy actually lost his balance, and he did fall into the water.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going along. I say, hold on just a second. I skirt up. I reach out. As he's coming along, I'm able to grab him and pull him back in.
Okay.
So now he makes his way back up through the rocks, and all three of us are back up here. Meanwhile, the lightning's coming down. The rain's got, and all three of us ended up getting, you know, safely across, and we had to get an ambulance for her because she was just an absolute mess.
And you said hail started too?
Oh, Jesus. I will never, ever forget that. Never forget. In fact, news stations showed up to cover, there was a lot of damage done in that area. This little microburst or whatever the hell it was, and it was just wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, I would, when you brought up the lightning, I would say those are some of my scariest times being out on boats far out, like in the ocean, deep sea fishing, and lightning's cracking down because it scares the living. But, I mean, you have no control over that. But the scariest goes back to where Gamble was saying was Charlie because, and I've told you this, my daughter was a newborn at the time, my oldest daughter, and we heard the sound of a train. And I immediately, you hear that and you know, some, because you'd always think, oh, I don't know if I'd recognize it or whatever. You know. And I heard it and I was like, holy. And I grab her to run to the closet before I even made it from here to the corner of that room. So what's that, about 10 feet?
Yeah.
Before I made it.
Did you not have anything boarded up?
We'll say 10 to 15 feet. No, this is the days when you taped your window and thought that did something.
Yeah. Right, which it really,
I think like after Charlie, that's when it really changed.
And wasn't Charlie the one that wasn't supposed to hit us? It was supposed to hit Tampa.
Yeah, that was the one that Charlie did that hook and came right up the I-4 corridor.
So you're diving for this closet.
I'm running to get to the closet before I even made it 10 feet. That sound's gone. And I'm like, if that hit our house, we'd be dead. I mean, there's no question, or very close to it, you know. Were we boarded up? No, because we weren't expecting it to get here. I remember I was sitting at a pizza place right near the Outback. There was a pizza place. I don't know what store. And I looked at my wife and I go, holy shit. I go, look.
It's dark.
It had jumped from a 2 to a 4. No, I was pointing up at the TV.
Oh, okay.
And it jumped from a 2 to a 4. I go, we got to go. We were just getting one, you know, last meal out in case we got some damage or whatever. And it turned like that, and you get scared. But when that it turned out to be a microburst.
Yeah.
When that mini tornado came through, it's the one, Gamble, that ripped the roof off of Brookshire Elementary's
You were on the other side. You were on the
cafeteria.
Other side of that, yeah.
Yeah, and it bent the flagpole.
Hallways that year.
Here's the school, and then right next door is my back fence, which just got obliterated, and the thing came right through and threw that entire roof right on my neighbor, catty-corner neighbor's house.
You know what I'll always remember about that particular storm? I came to work, and the protocol here at work is, you know, it all started. That's really when the whole hurricane protocol started for the time we've worked here. They'd like you here, like you on the air to keep the audience, keep you all informed as to what's happening.
Because most people just have a radio.
Yeah. So, I made my way down here, and I'm here, and I got a hold of Bob. I'm like, so what's the deal? He goes, I can't get out of my neighborhood. He goes, I can't get out of my neighborhood. I go, what do you mean? He goes, it blew down like every damn oak tree and pine tree or whatever.
And my grandparents were on the, like, a minute from where you lived. My grandparents live where my mom lives now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was the next day. I remember trying to get, like, my dad and me had to walk to my mom's house. Like, we couldn't drive. None of the roads were usable. We had to walk, and it was just a whole community were just moving trees mm-hmm. to make the roads usable.
We drove down there a couple days later, the wife and I, just to see it for ourselves, and I'll never, that was just craziest sight ever.
It looked like a mini war zone, like a bomb went off.
It was crazy.
And I'll never forget seeing, because I've only seen this from like a hurricane, when a front yard looks like it's a wave. It looks like a breaking wave, and it's just like frozen in time. Like, do you know what I'm, like the wind brought up whole yards
yeah.
where it just looked like
uh-huh.
that, and there'd be like a 50-year-old tree just straight perpendicular, just not like just the just oh my
it's
god
those water oaks they yeah, they get loaded it, with water and they can't
I've never seen anything like it to this day. But I was just walking around after Charlie, it was me and my brother, we'd stand on the tree trunk sideways while this like whole someone's entire lawn is just
yeah it was the surface area of the roots
yep.
because they weren't really that far under the mm-hmm. ground, and you would stand and the big root basin would be still 5 feet above
right.
your head on some of these.
I remember after that, you know, they were explaining the different types of oak trees, and the ones that are prone to get blown over, unfortunately, were the ones that were through the neighborhoods you guys live in. And I just on a selfish level remember going, I forget who I asked. I'm like, hey, I got a bunch of oak trees. What kind of oak trees are these on my – and they're like, they're not water oaks. You're good to go. I'm
so
like
– first thing everybody asks.
It's like – all right, thank God there.
Well, because the big thing is that, and then we have so much leaves that the leaves collect water and they get really heavy.
Yeah.
And then those just start coming down,
yeah,
branches and limbs.
You're supposed to thin them out,
mm-hmm.
is what it. But, dude, when that came through, I just remember, A, freaking out, but then I was able to make it here to the station after a bit. But I had to drive through all my neighbors' front yards. So now not only do they have trees.
That's such a crazy idea.
Trees going like over a thing. They got tire marks from my little car going up in the yard and around a thing and then down in saturated waters. And I did it because we had to be on the air. But at the beginning, I couldn't. Lynch is right. I couldn't get out. I was like, I got to figure out where to drive. Plus, there's power lines down and all that stuff.
You know what's still amazing? After lessons we all learned collectively in the state of Florida, I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, those of us who, you know, Gamble, were you born in Florida too?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's odd. There's three natives in the room. It's hard to get three Florida natives together these days. But anyway, we all were very nonchalant about hurricane. It's just part of the deal living here and da-da-da-da. But finally, after those three storms that went zooming through in close over the six-week
mm-hmm.
period, I think that really woke a lot of people up. But still, as much attention as – what are you guys looking at?
Look at the pictures of that.
Yeah. I really thought he pulled up a picture of my house. I really thought one of those was my house.
Anyway, what I was getting at is you still, at least inland, when a big storm's coming,
mm-hmm.
not many people board up.
Nah.
They really don't.
Hurricane parties are still a thing now.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, that's always going to be a thing, I think.
Of course,
well, just
yeah.
I mean, I don't think you see a hurricane party happening like anywhere other than Florida. Like we're just... The way that we react to a big storm coming,
nah,
I don't think anywhere else.
I think
New Orleans.
Yeah, wherever there's hurricane-prone areas, no matter how bad the areas have been hammered by hurricanes, there's still going to be element that, you know, take the opportunity to party, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You're right. I didn't even think of New Orleans.
The hangover sucks, though, once you lose the power. And you're
that's what I was going to get at. Once it gets nasty and... yeah, it's not so great anymore. Now you got a house full of drunks.
Yeah. I remember also when it came through the Winter Park Pines, and I know everybody got slammed by it, but Charlie, then the fear came, and I always get a little fear in my belly when there's hurricanes coming that are coming our direction and they're big because of Charlie. But afterwards, they decided, somebody, I guess the city decided, oh, it'll be a great idea to put, what are we going to do with all these trees? Okay, let's put them right down in the parking lot of Showalter Field, right? Do you remember the
I don't remember
that's
that.
That's where they put all these trees. Pat, I'm talking stacks of trees that are 100 foot high.
Like a lumber yard.
Okay? And it's covering the whole thing. That was about a block from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's coming?
another storm.
Francis and Jean, and all they're saying is, we're worried about, you know, things flying.
Projectiles.
And projectiles, so make sure you know you have stuff cleaned up. And I'm like, we have an arsenal right there. That's like somebody aiming a fireworks tent at your house and just lighting it. I was like freaked out about it for a while. And then, so I think actually, then we lost power and I went to my brother's. That's right.
It's June 24th. We're only 24 days into hurricane season. Goes what till the end of November,
two of the three stories where we were scared from an instance that were hurricane related.
Yeah, so I mean it's always going to be in the back of your mind. And then you know the local meteorologists, of course, are you know we're watching an area for potential development. It's 60%, 40%, whatever. You know they're always trying to you know
amp it up. Well, that's their living, you know.
I know. I get it. So. Let's knock on wood that we're able to. I mean,
this station reaches a lot of areas. I mean, the podcast reaches everywhere, but we have people that are going to get hit. People listening that were probably going to get affected by a hurricane this year.
And I'll tell you what, the other part that I think a lot of us are now starting to deal with as a result of all these storms, if you are a homeowner in this state and have had to try to navigate the insurance waters here in the last few years, it's a bit of a challenge, and it's only going to get worse. You know, those premiums keep going up and up and up, and it's almost like your insurance company is hoping you'll drop them so they don't have to deal with you anymore.
But let us give you a tip. Don't drop them without finding another insurance company, because I'm telling you, I had to buy a new roof to keep my insurance company. And my other option was to say, sorry. Like, I talked to my insurance lady. I go, my friend, she's like the broker.
Mm-hmm.
I go, Christine, I said, what should I do? I said, I can't buy a roof right now. She goes, you kind of, and I go, oh, my God, if I get dropped, which I was gonna, then I have to go to another insurance company. They're going to say, oh, why don't you have insurance? You've lived in this house for this long. Oh, I got dropped. Why? Because the roof. Well, you need to redo the roof. So I was doomed either way. I had to pay for that roof.
Yeah,
and then a hailstorm comes through and nails my neighborhood worse than a lot of others, and I could have gotten the new roof then.
Well, yeah.
But at least I did it legit.
A lot of these illegit roofs are the direct reason a lot of these insurance companies are bailing on Florida. And
raising the rates if they're staying like yours just did.
Yeah, it sucks that you know, you most of the time you pay for insurance and never need it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and a lot of people see it that way. It's your safety net. And then the time comes when you actually do need it, and, you know, your deductibles are now so high that it's like, do I even want to put in a claim at this point?
And you got to fight tooth and nail to get the claim taken care of.
Right, right. And a lot of it is because of, you know, abuse of the insurance system.
Yeah.
You know, I know they're making money hand over fist, but they also lose money hand over fist, too, and that's why we're in the mess we're in. Is there a solution to this? Not that the three of us are going to figure out.
No. And, I mean, you look at it. I told you guys the other day, you look in my neighborhood right now, just in the front section of my neighborhood, there has to be 13, 14 houses getting new roofs. That's just that front section, which only has about 70, 60 houses in it, if that.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh. No, I don't even think it's 60. There's so many getting.
Hey, on a completely different note, Gamble, I only halfway heard this earlier when you and Bob were BSing earlier during the show. How are you trying to scam free burritos today? Because I'm getting hungry.
No, I have flats cash, so I'm going to be able to get the burrito deal for under 10. I have $10. Boom. Free burrito for me.
And then I said, he goes, yeah, now get some change out of the car to cover the extra. And I go, what about tipping your fellow restaurant industry employee? He goes, well, I just give him some of the extra on the card, and I'm thinking, didn't you say it was $10 and change?
$10 and change, but then if you round up like I did yesterday, then it's 11, so then it's a full dollar. 55 cents I had in my hand isn't enough. I have to use my card. Three extra goes to the tip.
Okay. Oh, three extra on your debit card.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. I knew you'd
be... Can I use... three of the dollars from this, you want to flat cash for my tip? No. Oh my God.
That's why I was like, wait, are you actually chapping somebody out? Tip?
In high school, I used to try that.
I forget where it was. We're using a gift card.
Yeah.
It's just Alejandro checking something out. What's up, dude? We're just doing our podcast.
Okay, I got Universal. They're trying to check the connection for your broadcast.
Oh, okay. Universal. Who's that?
Universal is a live remote.
For JRR?
Yeah, well, soon. Yeah, Lucy's doing. Well, someone's doing the testing.
Oh, okay.
They're going to have to wait if they could call back, or I don't.
Tell them to hit us in like 5 minutes if it's Big Bob and them. Cool. Sorry about that, Alejandro. But so what were we saying again?
We were trying to get free burritos here, and it doesn't sound like I'm getting one.
We're trying to call me out on not tipping, but I made sure to tip my my brother.
I knew that you would, and that's why I was so. That's why you saw my face. I was kind of like, dude, is he really chapping them on a tip?
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
He works in the restaurant industry.
You were talking about trying to leave the balance of the whatever for the server. We were out one night and used a gift card. It was at a decent place. And we had more than enough on the gift card to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And the server came back and said, do you want the change off the card? I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, I can give you the money off the card, the balance, because it's whatever.
Yeah, certain cards are like that.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I've never seen one.
Because you paid for it with cash.
So I said to her, I go, well, it's this amount of money. I go, are you able to keep that? She goes, if you give me the okay, yeah, I can do that. I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, it's certain cards.
Yeah, so yeah, that's good to know. I lived and learned.
Just think about it, like even like your Costco gift card or whatever, right? When you return something, they give you the Costco cash, but it's on a card.
Yeah,
it's the same concept.
No, I got you.
Yeah, but there are certain ones that say, hey, you need to eat all this in one sitting.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I got you. $10 burrito, man.
I'm good at those ones.
You know, you could stop by my house for the famous Miss Taco's, whatchamacallit?
Enchiladas?
The enchiladas. I got a lot of them, and they're going out of town on some college tours tonight. So.
If you got enchiladas, I'll fly by.
They're awesome. I don't know if I can do that. Let me think. Yeah, I can give you one. I'll bring you one tomorrow.
I'll eat it on air.
Great. I can get double barreled now by both of you.
I'm telling you, these enchiladas are pretty tight.
It'll take me an hour or two before it gets moving, so I think you're going to be good.
You might want to bring your own sour cream, though, because, I mean, I eat enchiladas with sour cream.
Okay. But, I'll bring my own.
All right, so enchilada, I'll put that on my list for tomorrow. And when are you going to start your working out in the Speedo with
yes,
the leather jacket?
Either today. I'm not trying to postpone. Literally, I'm waiting for my roommate to write me up the workout. He asked me last night, I just have to have him write me up the workout so I'm not just sitting out there like doing nothing. Once again, thumb up my butt.
Yeah.
I need the 5-minute workout and then, but it's in my house.
Do you have weights on it or just the Z-bar?
Yeah, it comes with 2 10s and 4 5s.
Okay.
That'd be great if the first one was just the bar. I want to ease into this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to strain myself too much.
Hurt myself or anything.
Bar's 10 pounds.
Yeah, I know. So he's going to do it, for those that didn't know. Every day. It is every day, right?
Every day.
Monday through Fridays. It could be every day. He's going to film himself in his Speedo and his leather jacket. That's it. Working out.
And your goal is to beef up your chest? Is that what you're...
I can't really do a lot with my legs. I already have good legs. But I can't really do a lot with my legs with a curling bar.
Right, no, understood.
But whatever I could, you know, anything that I could get done in jail, I'm going to get done.
Yeah, he's calling it his jail workout.
Jail yard style.
Jail yard
style.
As
seen in the movies.
My dad, what did I text him? Because I told him, like, he's like, you know, I've
offered. He has 2 months to do it, too, sorry.
I tell him, like, he says, offer still stands. I can get you that gym membership for the gym down the street. I go, maybe. I'm going to try jail yard first. He goes, jail yard isn't 5 minutes a day. Jail yard bitches do 30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they only give you an hour on the yard. You get 30 minutes working out and the rest smoking.
Or basketball.
Right. Yes.
Break.
Or sitting on the picnic table, you know, handing shivs to each other.
Hashing up plans for the next breakout.
It's going to be crazy when I'm like a spokesperson for like a whole do-it-yourself like physical movement. Just like a whole movement of guys just getting ripped at, you know, in their own leisure.
Okay. Here's what we need to do. First,
a whole group of guys, in leather jackets and
speedos,
all doing the same 5-minute workout.
If you do it just like him, we're going to look just like him, ripped, because he did it in 2 months.
Our leader.
He says he has 2 months to get to get ripped. And yeah, whatever, dude.
I'm going to be dancing with my pecs.
You said I can't wait to do the.
Yeah.
You said I can't wait until people, I'm ahead of the movement, and they're watching me, and they're like, oh, yeah. Why don't you just start by getting the weights and the workout and doing it once? You're already in your 2 months, dude.
You're right. I think the first workout is going to have to be 10 minutes.
Do you still have the Speedo?
Yeah, I have like three. Okay. A few of them are like so corroded from chlorine, though.
Right,
I pulled one out the other day, and like I tried to like open it up, and it
crumbled.
Yeah, it was really bad. I totally didn't understand because I had like my other roommate who was a much better swimmer. He'd always like rinse his Speedo in like faucet water or something before putting it back in his bag, and I was always like, that's stupid. We just got out of the pool.
Not stupid.
And now I understand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's coming here in the next few days then?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
In other words, tomorrow's a Friday. It won't be happening then.
We might set off. We might start the weekend off with a workout.
And then he wants us to forget it on over the weekend. And then Monday, we won't say anything.
We'll just engage the old Ronald Reagan trust but verify theory.
Do you have sour cream?
Trust but verify.
Yeah, trust but verify. Do you have sour cream?
Yeah, I got cream? Cream.
You do it, huh? You have some at home?
Yeah.
Put some in a Ziploc bag
God.
For tomorrow and just keep it in the fridge like normal. Just squeeze it in there ahead of time. And then what we do is we rip the corner off and just like a cake decorator and put it right on my wife's enchilada. And no comment on how gross that sounds, putting it on my wife's enchilada.
With that, thank you for checking out Off the Air with Lynch and Taco.
I hope the chicken's still good in it. Who cares if he has diarrhea over the weekend?